Hello, Internet. Welcome to the very first installment of Creep, the podcast. I am Bronwyn Isaac, the host and main creep, who is gathering fellow creeps to talk about what it means to be creepy, the creepiest things we've done to impress a romantic partner, or just a hot person, or really anyone. And I am joined here today by two very lovely guests, the fatherly writer, all-around fabulous internet writer and stand-up comedian Lauren Vino.
Hi!
And the hopeless romantic and close personal friend of Lauren Vino, Melissa.
Hello, creep number one over here.
Melissa's visiting, and she's my creepy muse,
I think. Thank you. Yeah.
They definitely have, like, there's a familial vibe, but there's the muse artist vibe, too, with you guys, I think. Like,
yeah, none of us have sisters, so yeah. We both have brothers, so I think we really have that sister energy with each other.
We totally do. And then I think our creepiness kind of attracts one another to each other.
Yeah. Totally.
So, I mean, obviously being creepy is subjective, right? We all have, like, a different definition of what it means to be creepy or what we consider creepy from someone else. But I feel like one of the areas where creepiness comes out the most is when we're trying to impress someone or get a date.
Yes.
I know for myself, I once had a man ghost on me, and he lost his phone or got a new phone number because when I tried to text him, it said the phone was disconnected.
Wow.
I thought maybe he blocked me, but I wasn't sure, like, because we didn't have any falling out, and I was, like, super into it, and rather than just, like, letting go like a regular woman, I decided to find his email address, and then email him about hanging out. And not only did I do this, I emailed him about hanging out, this was back in college, but I found an activity at the zoo that I thought would be really cute and special, and I asked him if he would want to go do an exercise class at the zoo with me.
Oh my god.
Did you ever get a response, though?
No, absolutely not. Yeah.
I love it that, like, the email is just basically like, oh, I know what the internet is. Like, I can find you. And then you're like, but we could also do something fun.
Exactly. Like, and we did run into each other at a bar, like, maybe 2 years after that.
Did he seem scared?
We both just pretended that,
like, oh, you would have to.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
You're like, I know what I did.
Exactly. Like, I was like, And then he, like, kind of hit on me later that night because I feel like I was so embarrassed. I acted chill.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I wanted to know if you guys have your own stories along those lines. It can be really any iteration of being creepy to get a date, being creepy towards a crush.
Yes. It's weird to admit this out loud. And I've only recently come to the grasp and understand what I did. But I pretended to win Dave Matthews tickets.
Oh my god.
For a concert that was happening in Chicago. This is years ago, and I did that because I wanted to take a guy out on a date, but instead of saying, like, hey, like, you want to hang out, or, you know, I had to have a purpose for, like, why he would want to see me again, so I texted him, like, hey, like, you know, Kiss FM, they were giving away tickets, and I won, do you want to go with me? Because I knew he was a huge Dave Matthews fan. And, of course, he didn't pass it down. So we went, and then we never spoke again. So it was very heartbreaking that I spent all that money on a band I didn't really care for.
Yeah.
And nothing came of it.
Was the concert good? How was the concert?
I mean, it was your standard, you know, Dave Matthews concert.
Did he buy you any drinks?
Oh, I don't even remember. I would hope, like, so.
Did you keep a tally of all the cargo shorts?
Yeah.
I feel, what I'm curious, like, so did you know he was a really big Dave Matthews fan, and that's why?
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
It kind of worked out. We met, we started talking, somewhere along the lines, I learned he liked Dave Matthews. And then, lo and behold, they were coming to Chicago, and I jumped on it. And the worst part was is that, you know, usually when you win tickets, I don't know, like, really what the delivery method is.
But you're like, I didn't think this through.
I did not. I love it. So I had to, like, figure out how to get the tickets. So I think lied, and I said they were at, like, Wilco. Like, we had to go up and get the tickets. So I think it was, like, a little suspicious. Like, oh, you won these tickets. Wouldn't they just, like, send them to you in the mail or maybe, like, email them to you? But, like,
I guess I wouldn't, I wouldn't be trying to figure it out if I was just going to a concert for free. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think the fit part about this that's most fascinating to me is if you just bought tickets and invited him, there would be nothing creepy about this, but it's the fact that you lied and made it this whole thing.
You're just like, whatever, I have these, they're free, no big deal, come or not.
I'm sure I probably even went into, like, how I sound on the radio or, like,
oh my god, always how you know it's, like, a lie, because it's just, like, there's too many details. Like, yeah, and I was, like, on this station that doesn't exist.
I was lucky number 5 who called it, you know? Yeah. Probably, like, you know, he was probably listening to the radio.
They don't even play Dave. They don't even play Dave Matthews Band on that station.
It's so true. They don't.
I love everything about, like, you orchestrating this whole turn of events rather than just being like, hey, I really want to hang out again and I have these tickets. You're like, you create, like, good luck for yourself in the universe. It's almost like there's, like, a karmic aspect.
Right. Like, and maybe because I was, like, putting so much energy into it.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, the downfall was that no energy was given back afterwards, you know,
Amen, sister.
So maybe that was, like, the world's
right?
universe.
Man, am I right? Right? Yeah. Hashtag not all men.
Yeah, I'm like, what a metaphor. Yikes.
this got deep fast.
Real quick, what was it about this guy that made you, like, want to were you just young and horny? And
yeah, was he hot? Was he really, like, funny?
It's kind of like, it must be with me when I don't get my way or when I don't feel like someone's attracted to me. It was like,
I get that, for sure.
Like a challenge.
Yeah, it was like a challenge.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I get I get all like, can I speak to the manager?
I'm gonna make you.
Even if you're not into them, you just need them to recognize you.
Yeah. I get furious, and it's like insane. I recognize that I'm wrong. Like, you know what I mean? Because I'm not interested in plenty of people who are fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's about conquest.
But it makes my blood boil.
I never really thought about that, but I think it could have been anyone.
Right. I mean, that's what it is.
Totally. It could have been anyone, but because he wasn't giving me attention or I didn't feel he was, like, seeking me or going after me, I was like, oh, well, I'm going to force you with these concert tickets and I'm going to lure you in to a concert I know you love. And
I mean, manipulation, but it's like manipulation that's also a concert.
And it's
so you're
pure,
like,
I'm
done.
You like trick him into like a lair, you know, like a dark lair. Like you're do you want to see a band that you like that I don't even like that much?
Yeah, I'm gonna manipulate you into seeing a band you love for free. I'm an angel. You shouldn't marry me.
Exactly. I mean, you almost wonder, like, did I think that we would have like this moment sitting on like the lawn seats, you know, or like in the lawn and like a song would come on and we'd look in each other's eyes and like he'd know I was the one, like right then and there.
I love it. Like, no, I've had so many instances with guys like that though.
Yeah.
Where like you think that like having something in common with them will like make them like you more, which I don't think that's why guys are mostly attracted to people. Like, I think it's sometimes a bonus on top of being attractive.
Yeah, totally.
But that's not, like, no guy's like, oh, she looks football. Like, I gotta ask her out. Like, that's not the at least first thing.
Yeah, there's so many factors that go into it, like, that go into attraction. And I think
it's not like it works against you.
No, of course not. Common,
but it's not something you need to manufacture, but I've done that so many times where I've pretended to be interested in something I'm not for a dude. Like, I've definitely cliff noted, like, specifically Kurt Vonnegut books, like, to pretend I've read them for guys.
You have some quotes memorized now?
No, but just to, like, fake it.
Did it work?
I mean, I think this specific guy is separate, but it was like not like,
yes,
you know, it wasn't that rewarding.
You know, like you, again, like you said, he probably was already into you, and then you just like turned it up with the Kurt Vonnegut.
Yeah, I don't think you like slept with me because of that. I've definitely like gotten into certain bands. There was something else, but yeah, I've definitely done a lot of the shared interest stuff.
Have you done any like super creepy specific like gestures? You know, you're Dave Matthews, or have you stalked someone?
This isn't a gesture, but this is just really stupid. So I went through this phase in college where like drinking like at a very specific dive bar with a specific jukebox. And I just thought that, like, me, like, drinking at a bar, like, knowing the lyrics to certain classic rock songs would, like, lure men in. Like, it was, like, this absurd notion I operated on for, like, a really long time of her being just, like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, she knows, like, Simon and Garfunkel. I'm going to go talk to her. And no one ever did.
So you were the girl alone at the bar by the jukebox?
I mean, sometimes I had friends, but I was just, like, that was, like, my thing where I was, like, a band playing, like, a set almost. Like,
yeah.
Where, like, I would, like, pick out, like, an elaborate set of things, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, some hot guy's going to be like, she likes the Talking Heads. What an angel. She knows all the lyrics. Like, and like anyone is like, that's just not how anything works. And also someone's like singing every word to a song, like even if they know it, is just a kind of a weird gesture unless you're
when someone makes eye contact with me while they're singing, I like want to hide. You know what I'm saying? Like they make, they're singing all the words, and even if I love the song, I feel so uncomfortable. It's like I would rather somebody just take off their pants. Like I don't know what they want from me.
Hottest I'll ever be.
Yeah.
Super slutty. Like, I didn't need to work that hard, but just totally ruining it by just, like, mouthing lyrics to, like...
They're actually not sure if you're okay.
Yeah.
Like, they're not... Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, she's gotta stop singing obla di obla da at me.
I mean, one thing that, like...
But I still also fantasize sometimes about, like, singing, like, a really fun song and then, like, a guy being like, you're cool. And then, like...
Should we put that to the test tonight?
No.
I have
enough data.
Put that to the test and then come back for a follow-up on this podcast and we can talk about...
low-key karaoke seduction.
Yeah.
What would you wear? Like, because I feel like as we're talking, like, what I'm realizing is that between our stories, we're very methodical, and there's been, like, a lot of time spent put into our creepiness. So,
totally.
You know, like, Lauren, like, what would you, like, honestly, if you were to do this, what would you wear? And even me asking her that question is kind of creepy in itself, but, like, you know,
it's all about, it's about seduction. So yeah. what kind of, you know,
if weather's not a factor.
Okay, let's just, weather's not a factor. It's a perfect day for you to lure men in, you little songstress. What would you say?
Like, cutoffs and, like, a low-key, like, t-shirt. Like, if you're seducing men via your classic rock knowledge, you kind of want to have, like, a low-maintenance vibe.
Yeah, like, low-maintenance, but you definitely still put it together.
Wearing makeup, but you're...
I'm wearing makeup, but you're dumb enough, you don't really know that.
Yeah.
But there's a ton of makeup on.
Yeah, like, you actually have to have purple eyeshadow on for a lot of straight men to realize. I mean, things have been shifting, I feel like, because, like, Instagram, like, makeup tutorials and everything is so common, like, popular and common, that I feel like even straight men who aren't very versed in that are able to spot makeup easier. But I think there's just people wear more makeup.
Oh, true. Definitely.
But there should be tutorials, not about doing makeup, but for men about how to spot.
That's amazing.
We should make those. Okay.
Nobody steal that from this.
Write that down.
Yeah. But, I mean, one thing that I think is interesting, obviously listeners can't see, but you guys are both very cute you know, very, like, conventionally attractive women, and I think that the perceptions of being creepy are definitely gendered, mm-hmm. and based on, like, there's a lot of, like, aspects of privilege and gender there, and men have gender privilege, but I think because of that, and because of a lot of, I mean, the realities of rape culture, women, especially in straight situations, can get away with
being creepy.
Like, yeah, like, if an older man who looked kind of rough, like, was making eye contact and singing classic rock to you, can you imagine, right?
Right, that's true.
You would be at Twitter status, you know? That's something I think, like, with me emailing a guy about the zoo who obviously didn't want to talk to me, like, I was not picking up the hint. But it's funny because it's me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you guys thought about, like, if roles were reversed, how it would come across?
Well, it is, like, I do, like, get that all the time from guys, and they're like, oh, you're not creepy because you're a girl, and I'm like, I'm creeping you out right now.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think eye contact goes a long way. I think that's how women can be, like, low-key creepy sometimes.
Oh, definitely.
You know,
guys, too, but eye contact, I think, is just creepy. In a lot of ways.
Because it's supposed
to... When it's not called for.
Yeah, because there's definitely... There's, like, a space between making active eye contact and conversation because you're engaging, or, like, staring into someone's soul and not letting them have a break.
Totally. It's intrusive eye contact, and that is honestly really fun. Like...
It's a really
easy way to... fun, very easy, like low-key way to be creepy.
Well, I'm quiet over here because I'm... really thinking about this right now, and I'm thinking about some of the times where I've, like, I'm looking at you right now, searched into someone's eyes, because I'm just like, if I keep staring at you, I know you're going to fall in love with me, and, you know, it just, right, like, anyone else had that, like, where you guys are just...
I mean, maybe that's what it is, though, maybe that's what it's about.
Yeah, and that's why it creeps people out, because it feels like this intimacy that, it's, like, not consensual,
you're
but it's eye contact.
You're kind of alphaing them in a way where you're just like, I choose you. Like,
I mean, I do it with my dog all the time. You know, we stare into each other's eyes and, you know, I feel that love. So
I'm actually going to have your dog on the next episode.
Oh,
so, like, we'll get the dog's side.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, that dog.
But I want to go back to that idea.
Gotta have some representation there, yeah.
I want to go back to the idea of, like, if the roles were reversed, right? So, like, I feel like I've been, like, creepy in a way where, like, I'll go out and make, like, you know, in the past, like, elaborate dinners and making sure I get, like, the person's favorite soup from, like, a very high-end steak restaurant, right? I mean, just to pick up two cups of, like, lobster bisque, yeah, been there, done that. But honestly, that's creepy, you know, to go out of your way to get a specific soup for someone that you've recently started dating, but you, like, want them to know you care. Now, if the roles were reversed, right, and if a guy did that to me, I'd be like, whoa, way too fast. Like, this is too much. Like, you're putting a lot of attention into me.
Yeah.
You just met. But because I did it, you know, I'm like, I'm endearing and I'm adorable and I'm trying to
get you. Okay, the soup, I want to dive into this. The pot of soup. Okay, let's swim in this, you know, because, like, upon first hearing it, it doesn't sound creepy. It sounds like you did something thoughtful, right?
It's considerate.
You got somebody soup that he likes, and was he sick, or was he just...
No, not at all. I think this is where that hopeless romantic part of me comes in. Yeah. So, I once joined Match.com, and I'm saying once, but I think I did, like, a couple of rounds of Match.com. So I met this guy named Scott, really attractive guy, and he was a special ed teacher, too. So, I mean, that was just, like, bonus points, right? Like,
you're empathetic.
Oh, yeah, you work with kids who have different needs. And
oh, my God, it's not the one I know.
I don't know who that is.
The drummer in my...
No, okay. It's not him. Oh, that's
another
creepy
Scott,
story.
If you're listening,
She went on a few dates with the drummer in my brother's music cover band. It's really, we don't need to spend much time here.
I want to hear about this off the recording, because,
But
just so everyone knows what this moment was.
Yeah, yes. Sorry about that. So it was the different Scott. But, all right, so like, we genuinely had a really good connection as we were talking, messaging on Match.com, which led to, you know, text messages, and eventually we decided to meet up, and, you know, it just felt so genuine, like, our banter back and forth, so when we finally met in person, it was just like an instant connection, right? So it was a great first date. I remember we went to dinner, then afterwards he actually came and, like, went out with me and my coworkers. We met them at a bar, and everyone's aww, like, oh, my God, like giving me thumbs up and, like, you know, doing the mom and dad thing. Like, yeah, you got this. Like, oh, he's a good guy, good vibes. And, you know, that just added more to, like, oh, yes, he likes me, must. And so we started, you know, seeing each other, and but it was still fresh, right? It wasn't like... It was not...
It's undefined.
It's undefined.
Yeah.
And so, like, again, I lured him into my home by, you know, making him a dinner. And this dinner was very elaborate. I mean, like, I marinated the steaks for, like, 24 hours.
Oh,
and, like,
my God.
I don't even know if he knew that. But, like, I mean, that's how it started, right? I'm like, I'm gonna, like, get these steaks, I'm gonna marinate them, and I'm gonna grill them, and I'm gonna make asparagus and broccoli. And then I was like, oh, my God. You know what would make this great is that I can go to Ruth Chris's. Shout out Ruth Chris. This is not an ad, but they do have really good lobster bisque.
We need it. We're going to try to get a sponsorship now.
Yeah.
You already did it for us.
Send this.
Don't send it to Scott. Send it to me. But, so
bisque mails. It's great in the mail. It travels great. Go on.
Thank you.
I love mailability in my soup.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it is about me. I guess I must ask really good questions because I really get it to the heart of what people like. Okay, so one guy liked Dave Matthews Band. Oh, this guy likes lobster bisque. Like, how does that even come up in a conversation? Like, a lobster bisque soup from Ruth Chris, right? Mm-hmm. But somehow I learned it. I held on to it. And I went and picked up the damn lobster bisque from Ruth Chris. And I looked like a crazy person. You know, I called ahead.
I love
had
this.
I had a time to pick up. So then I had to go to, like, the bar. Now, this is, like, little me. Like, I'm kind of, like, dressed down, and I'm at this, like, bar where all these people are having, like, happy hours or, like...
Like, they're full feast.
Yes. And they're working professionals. Yeah. So they're, like, dressed up. And then, like, I go to the bar, and I'm like, hey, I ordered, like, 2 cups of lobster bisque for pickup. And I just remember, like, the looks that people were, like, giving me. You know, like, what the fuck? Like, this girl's only picking up soup, that's it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I picked up the soup, and I put it in a crock pot to keep it warm.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, see, like, how elaborate
that's
it was?
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And like, all of this was because you found this out in passing in conversation. This is, you're doing research with these men.
Yeah.
So
I
that
am.
you can do the most.
Yes, and let me tell you, it didn't work. So if anyone is trying to... duplicate this, please know that unfortunately it went nowhere. I mean, I think we dated a little bit more afterwards, but my point being is that, you know, if this kind of attention was put on me, I actually would be not attracted to the person and I would want to walk away from it.
Right.
So it's interesting that
your impulses to do it.
Yeah, I have impulses to do that, but if it was done to me, which, you know, it has been, like, there have been men who is like, whoa, too much, too soon, too fast. I'm not attracted to you anymore.
Yeah.
Is it not fine?
Well, it feels like a red flag almost because you don't know them. And so you, like, even if it seems nice, you're not sure really where it's coming from.
And even when that doesn't happen, I just burn myself out on people that, like, kind of, you know, do that. Like,
if they seem
too much too fast.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel like about me. It feels like, oh, you'd be like this with anyone and I'm just in line next. You know what I mean? Like, this feels about, like, your shit and not about a connection.
Like, you just need someone to be with, and you've latched onto the concept
here.
Of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like you also bring up a new type of creepy, because it was, like, the creepy of faking you have things in common, and now this is, like, domestic creepy, which is another, like, low-key girl creepy.
Oh, I would
when
definitely
you try to
say,
mom out on a dude we're having sex with, usually, where it's
there's
gonna do your laundry.
Yeah, there's a weird thing there, I think.
I've only done one boyfriend's laundry, but I did it a lot, and I never could get out of doing it.
Were you like, here you go, baby, with your socks?
I don't know what it was. I think it's just, like,
I like
doing laundry, not, like, recreationally for other people, but, like, I like that in terms of, like, the chores for myself. I find it, like, relaxing and, like, having clean laundry.
Yeah.
So at first it just seemed like a nice thing to do. Like, when me and my ex-boyfriend used to live together, When we first moved in with each other, I think I was trying to turn up the, like, domesticity in, like, a different way, but a similar way as you. And then it's just, don't ever do, like, you should never, I'm never going to do man's love unless I'm asked. Like, it's just weird. And you can't really, like, once, like, you start doing it, it's a weird, like, thing to stop because, like, it feels, like, a passive-aggressive. Like,
yeah.
It feels passive-aggressive, and you did that to yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And there's this aspect, too, where, I mean, I obviously don't know how your partner at the time responded, but, like, it doesn't seem like something where the man having his laundry done is going to be like, oh, my gosh, this is my dream. Instead, they're just going to be like, oh, thanks, and then just kind of probably take it for granted.
Exactly.
You know, but it's not a particular, it's not sweet in the way that gets noticed, which doesn't mean, I mean, no shade to anyone who does their, I mean, I feel like when people get married, et cetera, it makes a lot of sense, but if you're dating someone new and you're like, can I do your laundry?
Yeah.
It's like, why do you want to touch my socks? Like,
yeah,
what
is
this?
I have skid marks. Get out of here. Yeah. Mom.
Like, I don't want to talk about my IBS. Like, this is complicated. Yeah.
So, like even, like, in a long-term relationship, like, I don't think it was explicitly creepy, but it feels, like, creepy in retrospect because it's just, like, yeah, it is just, like, it's an intimacy no two people need, like, to have with each other. You don't need to, like, look at each other's dirty underwear. Like, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, no one, yeah.
What's your relationship, and this is to both of you, with, how technology affects the ability to be creepy.
I want to run out the window right now. I'm so much creepier.
Just like the ability to spy on people online, you know, the horrible existence of red receipts, all of these things I think kind of, they create more anxiety when you're dating or seeing someone or anything along those lines. But also being creepy is so easy. Like Facebook wants me to be creepy. It wants me to spy on my ex. Like it will suggest that.
You know, it's really, really great technology that Facebook puts out because you can have so many connections and someone that you haven't really thought about or seen, but they were once in your life, they made an impression, just a few clicks away and you can find that person and you can, okay, for instance, because I just did this, a gentleman, Ross and I, were a thing and, I don't know, he popped into my head and I was like, I want to look him up. Okay, well then I couldn't remember his last name, right? So then I knew that his father writes for a very popular newspaper in the Chicagoland area. So I didn't remember the father's name, but I remember what he looked like because I've seen this picture.
Oh my
gosh. So I searched, found the father, right, online. Then I got the last name. Then I went to Facebook, put the first and the last name together, and boom.
There he is.
And this was all within 5 minutes. I mean, this is not like it took me like hours.
Yeah. Be a PI, you just have to, you know, gather some information. The internet wants to give it to you.
Someone has
to be fully off the grid for this to be impossible. I mean,
I don't want to admit how creepy I am about the internet. I feel like I should be arrested. Like, I feel like, especially, like, Facebook was fine. Like, I feel like I did the normal, like, stalking everyone does. Like, doing recons.
Just kind of passive scrolling,
looking up an ex, seeing what they're up to.
Checking
like,
the photos.
Those just kind of just, like, run-of-the-mill creepiness. But Instagram has really helped my, like, has really made me spiral.
Really?
Into some creepy territory. I am very embarrassed to admit to some of this. One thing I do, like, if you're, like, into a dude, like, one thing I've done is, like, check, like, because Instagram, you can, like, especially if you're following someone, you can see what other people are, like, liking. Like, in checking out, girls, like, other, like, the dudes.
You can see that a guy you're interested in is liking another woman's photos.
And a bunch, and especially, like, all of the time and stuff like that. So you're just, like, and then, like, following those girls, so...
Do you watch Instagram stories or follow women that dudes are interested in are
I've done that
interacting with?
I've done that before I realized how Instagram stories worked and that people could see.
I know. Instagram stories really tell on all of us, which I like about that because then when with mine, I can know who's, you know, watching them. But
this is some creepiness. Okay,
I think that's my favorite part about Instagram, though.
I don't have an Instagram. I don't need anything.
It's bad for you.
I do not need anything that's going to fuel my technology addiction, right?
Yeah.
So if there are other viewers or listeners out here who don't really understand Instagram like me right now, I think you guys need to explain a little bit more, because I'm having a hard time understanding that. Okay,
oh,
you post a video and then
Instagram stories. I'll do Instagram stories 101.
Okay,
so right. Instagram stories.
I'll do the stalking.
Are kind of
that.
They kind of like make. It's like it's kind of like Snapchat.
Okay.
And so
this
basically,
is like how-to stuff.
Yeah.
You, how not be a creep.
Yeah, this is you, a tutorial. On creepiness.
Yeah, like you post like a video or a picture, and you can like put captions, you can put GIFs, all this fun stuff, and it automatically disappears in 24 hours.
Really?
Yes.
That's
and you,
nice.
It's really great. So you can just like, if you have a feeling or a thought, but you don't want to like have it on your permanent feed, but you don't want to look weird by like deleting it randomly.
Right.
It's perfect.
Okay.
And so you can. You can edit who sees it, so you can block it from certain people. How Instagram stories.
Yeah, no one does that.
Yeah.
You all want to see if that
person
is watching.
Everybody wants that person to see it. But because it's not in your main feed, there's no comments or likes. Like, if people want to respond to your story, they send you a private message.
Okay.
There's like a place on the story where they can send you a private message. So a lot of people don't respond to stories because they don't want to do a private message.
Okay.
And so instead, Instagram stories have a list of all the people that have viewed whatever you posted.
Really?
So, like, maybe 150 people viewed it, but, like, one friend responded to it in the private message. But now you can know, oh, wow, that guy that I knew from 5 years ago is watching all of my Instagram stories.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he's, like, the first one to watch them over, like, everyone.
He's always, in the first few, yeah.
But the tricky thing is, if you're just, like, on Instagram and only posting on your main feed and just watching stories, you don't really get a grasp of how they work. Like, I did that because stories were a new feature that came out, like, I would say, like, earlier this year.
Okay.
I'm not getting the timeline totally correctly, but a bunch of, like, they're popping up, and I was watching people's, but I wasn't posting them because it kind of, like, there was something about it, like, that intimidated me, or it was, like, frightening and confusing. It seemed more complicated than it was. So, I didn't get on board with actually posting stories, and, like, but I had been creeping on other people's stories for months, including, like, my ex's girlfriend, and, like...
Which is natural, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Like, it feels creepy to say out loud, but it's so common.
It's everywhere.
I don't feel bad about it at all. It's actually really funny, like, because I did it for so, like, consistently without knowing that she could see me watching it, and then when I realized it was, like, oh, my God, I owe her, like, a weird, like, apology. This feels, like, aggressive. But, so I stopped watching them, and it was weird, like, that I missed them. Like, I had gotten attached to her, like,
that's
content.
So funny.
Where I was like, oh, like, I wonder what she's up to.
Yeah, like
it wasn't even malicious. Like, I
was
just,
kind of
like...
pure. Like, you felt like you had a relationship with her because you were spying on
her.
I became a fan
of her content, which is the creepiest thing of them all.
I think that's actually kind of a beautiful full circle of how, like...
That is.
Creepiness is a human, it's a human thing.
But it gets better.
Yeah.
So a couple months later, I posted like a story. It was like around Halloween and my outfit was kind of on point. So it was like a really good story for her to creep on. And she creeped on it. Like I saw it, I screenshotted it and texted it to a friend. I was like, I did it.
I went, it's like, she likes me back, but it's like, that's not what it is.
No,
yeah.
There's something sweet about it.
There's this mutual like recognition, unspoken.
So now we're kind of talking about like girls creeping on other girls.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we've talked about us being creepy towards, you know, men, but like, let's just say, like, someone you went to high school with, or, you know, someone that you haven't seen or follow on Instagram. I don't know, but, like, women creeping on women.
Or the creepiness of trying to make a new woman friend.
Oh,
I mean, guys have that, too, but trying to make a same-sex friend as an adult is very creepy.
Yeah, platonic same-sex friendship seems like...
Like courtship?
I was just having this conversation with Lauren.
Yeah.
I recently became friends with my... vet, and it was interesting because
trinarian.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, I should clarify that. So we met through our dogs, and I say
that's
our dogs
adorable. It's must love dogs.
Yeah,
this is perfect.
It totally is.
Yeah.
And, And it was like we both knew we wanted to like be friends and hang out.
But yes.
Like, it's like, how do you take it to that level? Like, do you ask each other on like a friend date?
How do you do that?
And is it creepy? And then, yeah. Then we hung out.
And then when you hang out, you have to break the ice too, just like a normal date.
Oh my God, it's true. So we both brought it up. We kind of both said like, we've been wanting to hang out and be friends for a while, but we didn't know how to do it. It was just funny because we both were feeling that. And
yeah.
It felt like I was dating, like, courting her, and vice versa. And it's a really cool friendship to have as an adult now, but the origins felt very creepy.
I had a phase in my life where I would get drunk and I would message guys that I had crushes on to confess that to them, like years after the fact. This was like a couple years ago.
Nice.
And
Nice.
Oh yeah. In my mind, I was like, oh, even if they're not into me, like, I mean, they all live in different states. I was like, it'll be flattering because it's always flattering when, you know, someone has a crush on you. But I think I actually just came off creepy because, like, two of them didn't respond at all. Like, complete red receipts, you know.
Yeah.
It was messy, but I do the same thing with That's women amazing. That I want to be friends with. And I'll just be like, hey, oh my God, I think you're so cool. And I'll, like, get drunk and, like, Facebook them and be like, you're so cool, let's hang out. And the funny thing is that's worked out way better. Like, it's way more often that they're like, oh my God, I think you're cool too. And then we never hang out because we're both really busy.
Yeah, right. but
it feels the same emotionally.
It does.
And then when it does work out, you get the same, like, you know what I mean? Like, butterflies where you're just like, oh my God, we've been texting for weeks.
Yes.
Like, what does it mean?
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, like,
maybe we should go on a trip.
And I think, like, friend crushes are also, I feel like that's also, like, if you multiply, there's, you know, trying to be friends, platonic friends. Like, I've had friend crushes on guy friends where it wasn't a crush.
Yeah.
But it was a friend crush. And then I also think about, like, people who are gay or like, pansexual, like, trying to make friends that are platonic. Like, there's just so many ways, like, making friends is creepy.
Friendship,
like, a power dynamic.
Adult friendship is creepy. I think that's what it is, because I think it's, like, kids are supposed to have friends. Like, that's supposed
to
sign of, like,
to...
being well-adjusted and being alone as an adult is weirdly a sign of being, like, it shouldn't be, but it seems like more of a sign of being well-adjusted. Like, if you're an adult who needs people all around the time, you're like, what is going on with that person? So, yeah, I think it's, like, but it's, people still need friends.
Totally. Yeah. And I think there is this, like, the kind of a traditional, like, idea of having, like, marriage and a family is supposed to replace friendship. And,
no,
and everything's evolving, but, like, it still feels creepy to need friendship.
I want to talk about that, the need to have friendship and at a young age. So, Lauren, I feel like because I recently learned something about you, I feel like you need to share that with people about the surprise party.
Oh, I forgot.
Oh,
I didn't forget.
So we were just, okay, yeah, we've been talking for a while, and I'll just throw this out as, like, the last creepy story, but this is childhood creepy, and it is about friends.
Throwback Thursday creepy.
It's about friends and status. Social status, and just, like, so I'm, like, a natural creep. This is, like, early creepy stages, but me and Michelle grew up together. And in, like, middle school,
she goes by Michelle and Melissa. So if you're listening and you're confused, we have some alias going on here. We have to protect our identities when admitting creepiness. Although I am Bronwyn Isaac, you can stalk me on all outlets. Okay, continue, Lauren, I'm sorry.
So, growing up, surprise parties became kind of a big thing. Where if you had, like, a surprise party, like, everyone would come to it, as opposed to if you just had a regular birthday party, you kind of had to rely on your own social standing. And I wasn't a loser, but I wasn't popular. I was, like, kind of the middle of the, like, I was kind of a floater, a middler, a little bit of a weirdo, unsurprising.
But who isn't at that age?
Right? Really, and who isn't, who eventually becomes a comedian?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it kind of makes, it tracks. But I wanted this might be wild and weird about my birthday now, but so I wanted to, I convinced my mom to throw me a surprise party that I was actually in on. This is probably one of the most creepiest things I ever did.
Honestly, that's, like, such a power move. I don't even know if it's creepy. It's just, like I have respect.
This is a total power move. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because Lauren just confessed this to me 2 days ago.
It's me and my mom's secret.
She's like, I got to tell you something. And I look at her, I'm like, what? She's like, remember that surprise party I had? I'm like, yeah, I knew about it the whole time. What? You threw yourself a surprise party?
I feel like a sociopath.
So why did you want the surprise party? I mean, besides the fact that surprise parties are cool.
I wanted to, this was also slow dancing had just become like a thing in our age, like not like a trend, but in our developmental age of like boys put their hands on their hips. And, we weren't sexually advanced enough to grind yet. This was pre-grinding. But,
it was also during the time Casey and JoJo, you know, love.
Yeah, very.
You know, it just was, like, you were growing up and you were on a slow dance with someone.
Right, and I had, like, a pretty, like, sick yard and deck growing up. And I just had this fantasy of, like playing Casey and JoJo and slow dancing with a boy that was, like, kind of a step up socially. Like, it wasn't, like, about... I think that's the creepy.
You were networking at your birthday.
Yeah, and it was the creepiest part is, like, I didn't have a specific crush. It was very, like, nondescript. It was just, I don't want to make a lateral move here, people.
did you get to?
I did. It was I don't even remember his full name. His name was Matt.
With bushy eyebrows. Matt with bushy eyebrows.
And again,
dreamy.
Also, the first of a long line of Matts in my sexual history, turns out.
But was this also when Tim's band played? Was that the same, right? Remember you had the party at your house?
No, I think there was something else, but...
Did you know about that, or was that...
I know. I don't even know if I could trust myself after this. But yeah, it was a power move, and I think I'm still kind of a little like weird like that.
Sex
is or like even like attraction and like sex and stuff is always about like having the upper hand.
Yeah.
And about power dynamics and stuff like that. Like maybe that was where it started.
Maybe.
In my faked surprise
power. So in a sense we could say, I mean based on. A lot of our stories are about, like, taking back the power, like, feeling like somebody's not interested in trying to, or, like, trying to make sure they're interested, or being, when you, Lauren, would sit at the bar, you wanted to be the alpha.
It's alpha.
There's an alpha aspect to creepiness.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Definitely.
This is gonna be the conclusion of our first episode, but I just want to thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast. You should all follow Lauren on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
@LaurenVino.
And Melissa, do you have Twitter?
No, I feel like I have nothing but Facebook, and I don't think I need anything.
You don't need that. No. Okay.
Don't follow me on Instagram. I'll stalk you, obviously.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, stay away from Lauren on Instagram, because she will find out about you.
She has a liability. I'll find the girls you're interested in.
Do that.
Or if you're a girl yourself, she will also follow you.
I'll make you my friend.
Exactly.
That's scary for everyone.
And, of course, I would love the attention as well. Bronwyn Isaac, follow me at Bronwyn Isaac on Twitter. Thank you guys so much. And, you know, stay in touch with your inner creepy, but just, like, also don't do anything illegal. All right. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.